They'll be dead. And it's all part of a plot. We have sucked up into our institutions the stupidest, most ignorant, arrogant people on the planet. Because this, to me, is as plain as the nose on your face. How can they not see it? Or can they be that stupid or that complicit? And you're not safe in the cities. All right? Because people are saying, we'll go to the country, let's get away from it all. These MIMO tanks, that is a simulation of one, by the way, and that is not a MIMO tank there. That's not one. That's just a telecoms tank. I'm not saying it hasn't got 5G attached to it, but that's not a MIMO tank. You'll see the MIMO tanks when you don't get the top hats and they've got cooler boxes on the bottom, so they're going to kill you. When they turn them up, they are going to kill you. You'll see them straight away. It looks like a big, long, elongated cigar. Look at the base. They'll have one telecoms box and two massive coolers. They're going to pour that much energy in. They've got to keep the transmitters from burning out. So them coolers have got to be full on. Otherwise, the whole thing burns out. What I'm telling you is if the coolers, if something happens to the coolers, the whole thing just bursts into flames. Yeah. You what's that?
We want to know about the coolers. Explain it again.
I haven't. You know what it is? Do you know what it is? I should have put one in. If when you're driving around, I drove in to here, and there was a lot of these elongated top hat type transmission systems. If you look at the base, if it's got three boxes, and they look pretty big and chunky, and then you'll see the big, large cooler boxes, that's 5G. That's the equipment they're going to turn up. All right. They're building it out now, 400,000 of them. So we're paying tax to roll out 400,000 across the countryside because farmers, believe it or not, have forgot how to drive a tractor. They don't drive tractors. We need autonomous tractors. In fact, they can't milk cows. We need autonomous systems to milk cattle. We need autonomous tractors because farmers can't drive tractors. This is absolute BS. It is absolute garbage. And we've got criminals in organisations and government spending our money on rolling this crap out. These transmitters will sterilise all cattle. They'll kill all pollinators on the land. They'll kill the land. This is radar. This image here, it shows you this one. That's phased array radar. And what they're seeing here is they're using it to look into your home. That's not a telecom signal. This is an industry image, by the way. 5G antenna design. It's a weapon. This is target acquiring weaponry. That's what it is. Target acquiring weaponry. So people think they're going to go to the countryside and hide. Just dispel that. In fact, it gets worse than that. I've heard about people want to go to New Zealand. I was talking to a guy in the US military, and he said, they've got contractors building underground cities. Fantastic. Would you go underground with an ideology that's trying to wipe out all the biology? Because you'd have to be pretty thick. There are some very thick, rich people. Obviously, quite a few. Because anybody who'd go underground with somebody like that, believe us, they'll be the first to die. What's 5G? Now, the reason I put this in, this is 5G. That antenna, the weapons bit, is only part of it. This is industry. This is 5G. This is the 5G vision. It is all of this. It is all of this. It's autonomous cars. It's smart meters. It's telecare. They're going around now in London. There's adverts in the paper. Will you allow us to put an antenna on your home? It's a 2G, 3G piece of equipment, operates on about 12 volts, not the 450-volt weapon that we've got in Gator, right? 12 volts, and they come and they stick them on you, and they're going to say they're going to give you a couple hundred pound a year. I rang one of the guys up, and I said, so what's your equipment? He's giving us the full, the guy knew his technical stuff, and he's telling us all about it, and I says, yeah, so it's 5G. He says, no, it's not 5G. He says, 2G, 3G, and he went through the thing, and I says, no. I says, 5G. 5G's main technical parameter is densification. Doesn't matter if it's 2G, 3G, 1G, it doesn't matter. It's densification because it's a kill grid. Densification will kill you. It's part of the weapon. 5G is a weapon. More of this technology will kill you. And they are talking about billions more. Wheeler says, and he's not making it up, if it's a pill bottle, if it can be connected, it'll be connected. Your fridge door. Everything. Because what they really want is they want that much radiation in the urban environment that you die. They're already killing you, but that's what they want to do. They want to kill you a little bit faster. So what's 5G? Let's do a little bit of technicality. Yeah, you've got densification, which is one of its main technical parameters, backhauling, which is spying, the antenna design, and it's all a weapon. Smart, secret militarized armaments and residential technology. That's what smart is, and that's what 5G is. So 5G is IoT. If it says IoT, smart, 5G, all the same. All this is all the same. Autonomous vehicles, smart cars. That's what 5G is. I'm trying to tell you, we've got 5G in Gateshead. Must be kidding, aren't they? That's 5G. Just means more. Now, you know, before when we're talking about Friday, April the 5th, 2019, this was a switch on, a 5G deployment in South Korea. All right? Now, some really interesting images here. You've got, this is really interesting. So you've got the rollout of 5G on the 5th of April, and five cities in South Korea burst into flames. Because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That worked. That worked all right. These are the images. Massive fire engulfs. National emergency, by the way. There was some covered in the mainstream, but only very small. And what they said was it was forest fires, as they did in Paradise. Same old narrative, forest fires. They're not forest fires. This is the smoking gun. This is, to anybody that knows what microwave radiation can do, that is the killer image. Because what that is, it's a cable drum. Now, if I pour a lot of microwave radiation in there, you'll heat the copper up. You'll heat the cabling up, and it'll burn from the inside out. As I spoke to a lady in Paradise, and she said, she heard all this crackling, turned round, and all of our electric equipment in the house was on fire. And she ran out, and she survived. There's a lot of people that didn't. There are thousands. How many people are missing, Deborah? They don't know. Yeah. Just true, yeah. I'll go through it because it ties in. It actually ties in with this whole thing. So we've got five cities on fire. The mainstream narrative is it was a forest fire. Well, you can't. We know the initial news outlets on Reuters. They stated that the witnesses said it was a transformer. Transformer kicked the whole thing off. So how did a transformer get from, you know, one of these cities on the coast, one of these cities to this one down here? All right, forest fires, absolute garbage. The imagery doesn't support that. This image here most certainly doesn't support that because that is a wood drum and it's burning from the copper, it's burning from the cable inside out. The wood's not burning. Exactly. You've got a building here, you've got woods here, so the wood's not on fire here, and the building's on fire. There's no wood around this bus. We picked this up off a video of the fires, so you've got a bus on fire, and you've got fire. This was off the BBC's website. Massive national emergency. Not a great deal to see here. And they said there was two dead. Yeah, yeah. Well, you've got... Well, that's it. So... This is Korea. Yeah. So we've got this... This image here is really interesting. So you've got Ashen... You've also got the trees here. And then this image... Obviously, Deborah had this in hers. Very, very similar attack. This is a smart fire. When you fill a building full of smart devices, you've got pulse-modulated microwave radiation filling and breaking down the fabric, not just your building, but you. And when you get an ignition or an EMP, boom, incinerate you. The only thing that's left is the trees, and it's because they take the radiation to ground. And what we're seeing across the West is they're taking down your trees. They're taking down the trees. The only thing that will potentially save you, they're taking down the trees. PNG enters bankruptcy. California prosecutors, PG&E could face manslaughter charges, if ever.
PG&E is Rothschild.
Exactly. Yeah, so whether that happens or not. But the citizens of the US have been cremated, and it's why Grenfell Tower, they didn't find the bodies. The bodies weren't there. They were incinerated. If you fill any hydrocarbon-based structure or biological structure with microwave radiation and then fire them off, cremate them. There's a potential for cremating them. This is Tesla. This is all part of the 5G lie. Autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles. These fires, it's a hazmat issue. 20,000 5G sats, global temperature warming. So they're going to warm your temperature up. Might be a reason for the... method of the madness, huh? So there's method in the madness. They're going to try and warm things up when everything's getting really cold. But this is a hazmat. These first responders, they go anywhere near that fire when that battery's burning. Believe us, that'll kill them. They're not getting a pension. Autonomous cars, another scam. LiDAR systems, toxic. You've got them blasting into people's windows here and then focused in their eyes. This is a bit of battle kit off the tank. That's a class 1 laser bounced into those mirrors directed at your eyes. All damage your retina. The Department of Transport here in the UK is allowing them to actually try these. You'll know in your towns and your villages they're reducing the speed to 20 miles an hour because the faster you travel, the more power density, so they've got to ramp the radiation up. So on a motorway, the radiation would be toxic. It's a scam. It's a scam to roll out the 5G because 5G and autonomous vehicles interconnect. Say that again, John.
Yeah.
Extinction Rebellion, total scam. Smart. Do you want to live in a smart city now? Well, I'm hoping we're going to fight back and win. Yeah, we win. 60 gigahertz. Everybody's seen this one before. This is one of the worst signals you can possibly use to send in air. It's absolutely useless, so why is Ofcom licensing it? Well, I'll show you. I've done this talk before, so people have seen this. You attenuate it, you potentially break the oxygen molecule, and you end up with O3, 50 parts per million, you're dead. These are the images from the US. These are reactors. Now, here's a really interesting story. I invented them. Was it a carbon capture and storage project? It was a total fraud, absolute fraud. And I thought, I know how to do that. I know how to disassociate molecular bonds. Bit of frequency, bit of power. And how you know, these are coolers, because they're going to pour that much radiation into these transmitters, they're going to gas you. The US government operative sent me some images, not these ones, I can't show you the ones I got sent. She said, what are they? I said, they're going to gas you. She went, I thought so. They're not telecommunications. So these aren't telecommunications. They're masquerading. This is 5G. The bit I showed you before is 5G. This is also 5G. 5G comes in many guises. It's a weapon. So you have to kill. That's got one purpose, to kill you. Masquerading is some telecommunications system. And yes, it potentially could be telecommunications, but that thing... very nasty looking piece of kit. Canaries in the coal mine. All right, so we've got a total collapse in flying insect pollinators. Go outside and have a look, see where all the bees are. Small birds are all gone. They're screaming, we've got to help. So we've got to fight back. It's not the end today. But if we don't fight for our lives, because your life, we are fighting for our lives, you just don't know it. Well, you do now after you've seen this. So we're fighting for our lives. The mainstream media, it's all about deception. So the Woodland Trust sent with document said, they're not chopping the trees down for 5G. How do they know? How do the Woodland Trust know that? Because somebody's told them. Like the RSPCA know that all the dogs are getting cancer, your pets are getting cancer, because the more radiation in an environment, and obviously the chips act as an antenna, a focal point for the radiation, so they're getting central nervous system cancers. They're not interested either. So they don't care about dogs who can't tell you they've got cancer, who are in pain. Because your dog gets cancer and suffers, at least you can tell somebody. So absolutely. The whole thing's a complete scam, John. International scientists and appeals ignored. Science is ignored. The precautionary principles, laws and codes are ignored. There is an agenda. It's not Agenda 21. It's not Agenda 21. This will kill everything. This will absolutely kill everything. It's not just... People are saying to me, they haven't got an Israel. They have got an Israel. They've got it all over the world. China, Korea, Bangkok, US, UK, it is all over. There's nobody showing me anywhere. South Pole mightn't have it. Might have a little trip down there. City of London's one of the first to get it. They're actually running, they're testing it now. Well, they say they're testing, they're not testing it. They're not testing 5G. Got to be really careful. 5 gigahertz is not 5G. And 5 gigahertz will give you a higher... signal system. This is the document that we've had. I want everybody to read this. It's really important. How to take action. The following short letter should be sent by email, registered post to company directors, shareholders, employees, council, councillors, politicians, media and others who are not above the law. I'm bringing to your attention the scientifically established fact that the rollout of 5G technology and experiment LED carrier assets on datable offence and domestic and international laws. They're experimental. It's a weapon. And a crime against humanity and the environment. Public Health England have already warned of the health risks. Your involvement in deployment, deception, misinformation and corruption on the wider community are continuing to support this crime have been noted. Any further support this indictable offence provided by you, once you've been informed by this letter, will demonstrate your real intent in regard to this crime. Now, intent is really important. Once they have this information and they carry on, they continue with a 5G rollout of intent to harm. Yeah. It's intent to harm. The Save Us Now website, if you contact, it's info@saveusnow.com, they'll send you a document or it's actually on the website. So there's posters, there's a small bit of it. This is a very, very simple letter and puts them on notice. So the next time your MP sends you a letter to say that Public Health England have told you it's safe, they're lying to you. They're lying to you in a public office. Because Public Health England haven't said it's safe. The World Health Organization haven't said it's safe. It is not safe. It's a weapon system off the battle space. So how could you even think it was safe? Ridiculous. It is deception. It is dishonest. We do not pay for dishonesty and deception, these people, these public servants, because they are our servants. They've just forgot. There's an agenda to harm, and we've got to bring these characters to account. And we have got time. Do not be despondent at all. What I'm going to say, and I said it last year, they have laid a 24-carat gold runway for us to put our plane on and take off. What we have to do is use it. If we sit back, there's enough of us in this room today, there's enough people on the live stream, this will go out right across the world. There's enough people now have woken up to what 5G really is. I've just explained what it really is. And they have got their signatures all over it. It's time to act. We are not going to be murdered in our own homes by these criminals. It is time to fight back. Anyone have questions? Questions, anybody?
Okay, we're probably at the end of it now.
The deployment levels in Africa are very, very low, but what they're doing, they're inviting them here. They're inviting them here. All the immigration, they bring them here because it's easier and cheaper to kill them. If you bring people into a city where you can actually kill them off, then why wouldn't you get them and tell them to bring their money with them as well? Yeah. You know, what they're doing, instead of them building out camps and putting people on trains, what they're doing, they're building a weapons system around your city. And they're getting you to pay for it. And they're getting your universities to get involved with it. You've got Bristol University, you've got children who've killed themselves. Bristol University, possibly 40 or 50 children who've committed suicide. I wrote to Bristol University in 2016 and said, you cannot use 5G in the university. It's in breach of Nuremberg Code. They ignored us. We've had 50 kids kill themselves. That's murder. Fight back. Fight this. We are the resistance. We are the resistance. We're fighting back. Mitigating the radiation is basically futile. All right. We've got to stop it before it's fully weaponized.
Okay. Mark, we're going to have the forum, which is after my presentation, and we it's
okay.
And we'll address exactly these questions in the last 45 minutes of the session this morning.
That's the end of it there now.
Precisely that. What can we do in terms of getting this out? Because we don't have the luxury of time.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, Mark Steele.
Thanks.
Okay, I presume we're going to a break now again. That's over at that point. Okay. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Can't get any reply from RBN. Waiting for the next tape. Hello. No reply. Hello.
So, I think that what David Dubyne has to share with us is going to be absolutely seminal to everything that's unfolding, and you're going to see how this is very much part of the thread that I've been talking about that runs through the whole event with all of the speakers. So, ladies and gentlemen, David Dubyne.
Okay, good on you. Thank you.
We have the sun, and today when I talk, I want you to think about how the sun is connected to all the events you've seen in history.
Okay.
About the wars that have started, the economy. Things that seem random are mainly based around food production. During low solar activities, we produce less food, or we can grow less food globally. And now we're pushing agriculture even higher into the latitudes. The sun is responsible for so many things in our societies. When our bellies are full, we have time for art and creativity, engineering, music. We have time, instead of thinking about where's my next meal going to come from. But you notice routinely that during the dark ages that we've seen, it's revolving around people being sick and not having enough food. But what caused that? So a lot of the things that you're seeing today in the world about political posturing, saber-rattling, trade deals, apparently reckless government, which we see everywhere in every country, as if they're never going to have to pay it back. Well, what if I was going to show you through this that they're not going to? No, they never plan to. Everything that's been talked about so far kind of dovetails into this. If you understand the basic premise of there's not going to be enough food to feed everybody in the future, but this is not about a doom and gloom presentation. This is about the greatest opportunity in human history in front of you. If you can see where the opportunity lies, what niche, what services, what products, how can you help people live the best lives during the transition phase or during these ultimate times of change, if you will. So that's what I would, predictive programming. So this winter is coming. We hear about this all the time on different shows. It's the most popular show right now, Game of Thrones. But why is that? I'm going to start my timer here. So I have my own time. We see this. Winter's coming, winter. And everywhere you look, things are cold. There's always this predictive programming around. Why are they telling you this? So I'm going to take you through a history lesson in pictures today. I don't want it to be just look at the slides. I want to tell a picture with, or a story with the pictures. And we're going to start off here, we're going to go through history, because you have to understand the history and the cycles before you can understand a little bit into the future. I'll give you some timelines about 10 years out. Now, what you're looking at here, and the first question I would even ask you is, if your food prices double, what would you quit spending on first?
GMO.
I meant movies or something like that. Yeah, GMO, yeah, you'd buy healthier foods. You'd buy bulk foods, healthier foods, and you would shift your spending habits slightly. Now, what if your food prices tripled? Now, for us in here, we have the means to sit here and pay a little extra money in an incredible venue. Thank you, Ian, for arranging this. Incredible spot. We have the means for that. But what about the bottom 10, 15% of our society that's living hand-to-mouth with government assistance, and their food prices double or triple? How would that upset the societal balance if they're protesting on the streets and going into food markets and, you know, theft will increase for sure. So I'm going to take us through history, historical past, and then I'm going to paint you a picture of what we can expect in the future. So what we're looking at here, this is 1755, and then it comes up to 1800. So we're looking here at a timeline about that. And this is the old, what they call the Czech lands, or Czechoslovakia, and now it's the Czech Republic. And then also in Switzerland here. So what they did is they took a look at the price of wheat and the price of rye during these times. Now, this is the most critical thing to understand. The price spikes were 20, and then they jumped to 80, so a 4x on the food price. But then you'll notice that it decreased after some bad harvest years and it stabilized. But then it spiked again, and then it came down to some stable years for about 5 years here, 10 years, and then it spiked again, and then it's back down again. So when people talk to you about grand solar minimum, A, they always seem to throw in this strange lexicon of ice age, where they try to convince you that there's going to be 2 miles of ice over something, and they derail the argument or the conversation right then by saying, oh, there's ice everywhere. It's not like that. It is going to get cooler in different latitudes, which is going to affect the actual amount of food production, but understand this, it's not going to be cold and incredible food prices forever. You can see clearly, even in the most affected regions of Europe during the mini ice age or the Maunder minimum, ice fairs on the Thames River, that the food prices still were up and down. And we take a look here. This includes most of Europe. They went through a lot of the different capital cities during the times. Now, this particular slide here goes from 1690 all the way up to 1702. And it's just measuring the price of rye and how much it cost. But it took into account Amsterdam, Paris, Brussels. So we can see the same thing that happened again. There were terrible years for harvest where prices spiked. But look at that price spike. That's a 7x increase. Now, what do you think would happen to our modern economy if your food prices increased 7x? Yeah, it would be greatly shift everything. The spending patterns, the entire economy and all the money you had would shift in just agriculture, and everything else would die on the vine outside that. Governments know this. They understand the cycles. So how would you, if you were the leader of the world, and I'll put you there for a few seconds, how would you try to avoid mass panic? And how would you try to get yourself ready with continuity of government without allowing everybody else to compete for the same resources that are available freely right now in the supply chain? So these are the two things you need to think about. But then we see the same thing. They had a couple really good years for harvest, and prices stabilized again. They came right back down, and then oops, bad harvest, and then they're back up again. So we can see this undulation up and down, but I think the first wave would take out most economies right now in the fiat system. So I thought to myself, let me show you what the Maunder Minimum is, because we're here. You understand the Thames froze over during the Maunder Minimum. This is like central with the most information in the UK that there ever has been cataloged about this event and different parts of Europe. So we can see the solar activity dipped off into almost nothing, and this is where the agriculture dropped out in terms of Asia, Europe. You can find some places in America when they landed over in Jonestown. They landed in the middle of the depths of this Maunder Minimum when they got in there, and the food production in the United States from, say, 1600 to 1650, right in the depths of this, they nearly starved to death when they landed over there. They came in the wrong time of the leanest food production available, even through nature. All the trees and plants, they went into hibernation and conservation mode. So it's a global phenomenon. It happens everywhere. So I wanted to try to explain what it is first and how you can see into the future and maybe get some plan for yourself together. Now, I thought to myself, is there a moderate example of food price spikes, and how would that affect our economies? Well, if you go back to 2008 and 9, we start to see the commodity run up right here. Now, those of you alive back then, you understand stocks collapsed, people pulled back on spending, fuel prices rose. That's one thing. If your fuel price rises, you can hitchhike, you can ride a bike, you can take the train, you can grab a bus, that's fine. You can mitigate, or you can find a different way to solve that problem. Food, if you don't eat, you die. There's no substituting that. There's no other way to, I guess if you eat algae all the time, but still you need some other supplements. So I'm going to take you through the solar cycles, how they affected society in the past, and then what I envision going forward. So I'm going to start off here with Bagan, and that's in Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. Now, I'll explain why I chose this slide. A, because it collapsed around 800 AD. This was directly related to the Maunder Minimum, or not the Maunder Minimum, but the a different solar minimum that took place at that time, and the Tang Dynasty got wiped out in China. Sunspots show you how much activity there is on the sun. And over longer terms, 11 years, we can see how much activity there's been on the sun. And then ultimately, these longer cycles dictate the civilization cycle. everything related to the rise and fall of civilizations and the rise and fall of empires is related to the food production. No food, no soldiers. No food, everything else stops. They're too emaciated to even work. They can't think straight. Disease sweeps through, and you're done. You have to wait until the sun turns its power back on again electromagnetically, and then we can get higher food production. I used to buy coffee in Myanmar, and the reason I started with Bagan is because I worked in Myanmar, and when I was there, I was a coffee buyer. The new plantings that they had to plant in the fields because of cold damage and death to the plants was 14%. So they had to overplant 14% because the die-off from cold. Now, if I say Burma to you or Myanmar, what's the first thing you think? Hot. Yeah, so for me too, I used to be a deep global warming believer. Yeah, I used to. Yeah, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. No longer, because once I saw the cold damage up there, I thought to myself, something's very wrong. So I was looking for answers anyway to see if we could get new supply for the next couple of years because they have to plant and it takes a little bit to bring on new production. Fine. This is Myanmar right here. It lies between 20 degrees north latitude and 22 degrees north latitude. And it's not supposed to be a cold country where you get crop losses from cold. So that took me out into this destination of using my mind to find out what's going on, why is it getting cooler? And right now, if you look up in, especially in Laos and in Thailand, they're experiencing the same thing. Cold weather, crop losses. It's even killing cabbages now. So the sweep of cold across Southeast Asia and Vietnam, every year now it's snowing, record snows in Sapa in Vietnam. Now the area where the coffee is approximately right here. And it's over on the map here as well in the Shan State. These are the plantings I'm talking about. Well, these little smaller plants are very susceptible to cold, so they would get killed off quite easily when the temperatures drop below freezing for several nights in a row, and it didn't really warm up during the day. And then this is what when I talk about new plantings, that's exactly what I mean. Can I move to the next? There we go. Boom. So and then they had to insulate the greenhouses, which was something they never had to do before to keep those new plantings even ready to plant into the fields because they would get killed inside the nursery, which was strange for them, so they put extra layers of netting over to try to protect everything. And they start with the seedlings and they go on up. And those were the ones that were killed. Also, the top leaf damage on there, the top leaves of the plants would actually get frost burned, if you will. And they're using silver oak cover here. Now, the silver oaks had no problem, but the coffee was very susceptible to the cold. And this is the gold we were after here, literally going back into coffee exporting out of Myanmar. Incredible origin coffees there. It's a magical place. And I'll tell you what, in 2012, there was no Wi-Fi signal at all. It was just opening up to the world at that point, and they hadn't covered everything with Wi-Fi signals and towers. And I tell you, the energy feeling out there was so much different than almost anywhere you've ever experienced, except you go to national parks. And this was countrywide. It's a magical place, and it still is. And for those of you who like coffee, I thought I would throw this slide in here. Natural dried, and they were experimenting with different Cantamore varieties. And then we had the slats out here with, those were washed, double washed, if you know coffee. I don't know, some of you do, so I thought I'd throw that in there. So I'm David Dubine, and I run the YouTube channel Adapt 2030, and I also have the podcast Mini Ice Age Conversations. And this was led because of my experience in Myanmar. So I'm just a regular guy who was buying coffee that found all this information out, and it shook me so much, and I realized how much of an effect it'll have on our societies that I decided to really delve into it and try to make videos and explain it to other people. Now, this is a reconstruction map of how the temperature dropped during the Maunder Minimum in the 1600s. Now, you can clearly see when they talk about global warming, Alaska's warmer. Well, it was warmer in the Maunder Minimum, so what do you expect? They're grabbing onto natural cycles in the news or the media or the narrative and trying to explain, you're the cause of it, but you're not, because look under Greenland here. Greenland's melting. Oh, wait a second. It got warmer in southern Greenland during the Maunder Minimum. What happened? It's a natural cycle. It's not you. It's the sun. It's not CO2, in my firm opinion. Now look over here in Morocco, we see this record snows, all these things happening in the United States. We get the same band here with the record cold, all-time record coldest temperatures ever recorded in America this year. And look right here with Germany, and I have some ideas about Germany, and we get some places in Asia right here. And also, Where did it cool down in the Maunder Minimum? Right here. This is right at the edge of where Myanmar is. And here it is. It even shows the cold dot right there. And I was shocked. This was my kind of waking moment, saying, wait a second. It even showed the drop in temperatures. And the temperatures are dropping again right there. So I started to look for more answers. And then I started to look back in historical cycles. Chinese dynasties collapsing. And what was talked about is these specific areas that were going offline that affected food production in the kingdoms. Go back to the different dynasties, the Yuan dynasty, the Tang dynasty. And you keep going back and they keep collapsing on 400-year cycles, which is also interesting. But these are the particular areas of crop losses that they spoke about. And here we are in North Korea this year, mega drought. Well, this is what happened. They couldn't grow food. That's why the kingdoms and the emperors couldn't hold the mandate from heaven, is because they couldn't feed the people. And the people got angry, right? You don't eat. If I don't feed you, you're going to be angry at me. You're supposed to be the leader, and I can't get it. So anyway, I did these in 2017, calling out where and historically we should be looking for crop losses moving forward into 2020, 2021. And sure enough, we're starting to hit on some very exact instances. So I drew these out in 2017. The sun. Where's our Earth? You have a choice of planets down here. Where's our Earth? Yeah, the tiny little speck on the right, or the left, actually. Boom, there it is. Now, you realize the significance of how large the sun is compared to our Earth. And they say that the sun has no effect on our planet. Okay. So these solar cycles, if you look back through history, they are absolutely, well, they're reflective of how much solar activity there was, but they're also reflective of how much food could be grown at a certain time in history. So we're here at solar cycle 24, and we're actually right at the bottom here. So in the news, you'll start to see a lot of articles about solar minimum, but that's the regular 11-year cycle, not the longer cycles that we're getting into on the 400-year or 2,000-year cycles. Now, if you couple these up, well, we can go back four solar cycles here, take us back into the 1960s, and then we can couple those again, and we can go back 120 years here. But you have to realize, even though all these coupled going back several hundred years on a 4,000-year temperature chart up here, we only cover this little square box and what they said. The Earth is warming from this point. They're covering this much of the historical climate record. When look at that, where there's other places where it's been warmer, and several times in the past. And I thought, well, let me show you that whiteout so you could see what those are. We have the medieval warming period, which ClimateGate was very clearly caught trying to disappear that period to make it appear that it was cooler in the past and everything was warming. Yeah, ClimateGate. Please look up those emails. It'll shock you what they wrote in there on how to make it appear that things were warming by cooling the past. Yeah, geoengineering, I'm going to get right into that. It's cosmic radiation management. Yeah, I want to blend that in, especially with your energy device coming down from space in the new electrified atmosphere. So we have the medieval warming period. We also go back and we can come into the Roman warming period. And also that's where vineyards were growing further north up in Scotland. Vineyards up there. And, you know, the Minoan warming period was kind of the apex of that, of the heat on our planet in this last 10,000 years of warm. So if we take it back in time, because I want you to remember this, I'm going to reference the Bronze Age once again. So we keep going back in time and back in time. We have 500 years, 1,000 years, 1,500 years, 2,000, 2,500, 3,000. And then we get into this thing called the Bronze Age around 3,500 years ago to 4,000 years. Bad things happen when it gets cold. That's why I put the chart here. We can start to take it. I'll even read them for you here because I know in the back maybe it's a little too small for you to see. Harappa Kingdom in India collapsed. That's because they just dropped this much in temperature. From the top of the Minoan warming period, the Mycenaeans collapsed, and then we get into the Yellow River freezes, and there's frost in China, and the Shang Dynasty collapses at that time. We got the disasters and plagues and famines in Egypt. They're down here at the bottom of the cooling. From their high point, which is actually higher than where we are now, so can you imagine when we cool further, what's going to happen here? It's going to be interesting. And then we come back down here and we find the Han Dynasty collapsed again on their regular period of 400 years. And we come down here, the European Dark Ages. Whenever it gets colder, our societies struggle to grow enough food to keep their citizens happy, if you will. And again, I just wanted to bring you, this had a little bit different list. You know, the Mayan cities collapsing in their final areas. Year without a summer, the Mayan Golden Age suddenly collapses. Well, why did they suddenly collapse one year? They decided to collapse this year? Well, they were around for how long? And then, oops, we just decided to collapse now. They don't choose to. They're forced to. And you know, these proxies that you keep finding through history, you can find how many candles were used for funerary rites during the Black Death. So you can see approximately the population and how many people died on how many candles they bought in the monasteries. But this is a significant one. This is where the witches were burned in the witch trials. And why would I even bring that up? This is from 1550 to 1700 AD in Europe. And this is another proxy, a way to see where the really bad weather occurred in parts of Europe here. Now, where the witch trials were, or where they burned the witches. Yeah, it was global warming too, yeah. You get the red dots. Where they burned or executed somebody at that time based on witchcraft trials. So you can see the density runs through certain areas, and then what you would try to do is then match that with what you foresee and reconstruction on temperature maps. So we know exactly where some of the real heaviest effects will be in Europe based on what happened here, where they were blaming somebody for the bad weather. NASA, never a straight answer. But they have pretty magnetic field charts here. So I want to talk about the sun and the earth connecting together, because this really explains everything. And when you can talk to somebody in the global warming debate about it not being CO2, but it being the sun, you have to kind of understand this magnetic field connection before you can get out into it. So they put out really pretty drawings, and we have a North Pole here, and then we have the South Pole here, and the magnetic field lines are going off. But where are they going to? Yeah, they're connecting to the sun. But look at this pretty one. Oh, they look so symmetrical, and they look so amazing. Wow, they're so perfect and circular. Not really. These are the magnetic field lines coming off the sun in a reconstruction magnetically, and really what they're looking at through different types of satellites from infrared and something like this. This is what the magnetic field lines look like coming off the sun. And in reality, this is what it looks like coupling with the Earth. So you're getting all these twisted magnetic lines, and it's not straight, and nothing's really beautifully round in overture and curving and connecting. And I showed you the size of the sun earlier. And if we're connected that much to the sun electromagnetically, what do you think is going to happen when the sun discharges or decreases its activity state into another Maunder minimum type cooling? Our Earth is going to be heavily affected. And it's connected electrically and magnetically, and we can call it electromagnetism, and they connect together. And we're going to talk about ionized atmosphere and how the governments are piggybacking on top of a natural cycle to create heavier effects. Now think about how far are we from the sun? Yeah, 93 million miles, and then they call that one astronomical unit, one AU. Now the magnetic field from the sun goes out 100 AU, out to the Balshak out there. You gotta realize, the forces from the sun go 100 times further than from us to the sun, further out into the edge of our solar system. Now we are 100 times closer than even do you think we're going to be affected, our Earth? Of course we are. Again, I'll bring you to the size scale here. I mean, we're way down here on the bottom, barely a little tiny thing, and we're so close to it. Yet they say there's no effect. No, sun drives nothing. No, it's totally you. It's CO2, bad polluter. Pay your tax. Now, what I've done here is because we're in the UK, I thought I would pull up the mean central England temperatures from 1659 to 2018. Bring you back home here. So what we're doing is we're taking a look at the solar cycles in different time frames and then looking at the temperature drops according to the solar activity. And then also, what's the correlation inversely is when we get higher solar activity, the temperatures rise. So we've seen this through history, and once you understand the cycle, you can start to look at it in a different way, and you understand when the solar cycle decreases in activity state, then, well, the planet's going to cool somewhere. We're going to get a bunch of shifts in the atmosphere, and this is not going to grow good. We're going to have a very difficult time continuing to grow grains, and this is what I focus on mainly is the grains. Now, understand fruits really being heavily affected across Europe and also different vegetable plants, etc., in the United States and California. This is our main thing that keeps our societies together. If we don't have enough food, our societies collapse, period. We need the food, and we need a lot of it to keep everybody well-fed. If you're not well-fed, your immune system's depleted, and diseases can run right through you so much more quickly. They find that, you know, when they're testing people's bodies that they dig up from the bubonic plague and different types of plagues through history, they were depleted on almost everything, and that's how they're overwhelmed their immune systems, and this disease that we could normally fight off just jumped right in and took over. This is what happens when there's not enough food. People become angry, things get too expensive, the markets are shattered. Even back then when we talk about it, you know, the armies in the UK here used to have to accompany the grain shipments because there were so many bandits on the road trying to steal the wheat coming out of the harvest that they had to put army with every single shipment. So then we take a look at skyrocketing food prices, and we see this around the world. What happens when people get really hungry and they're going to die, or their family is going to starve to death before they get to that food source? Oh, that's terrible. No cannibalization, empty shelves. No, but you do laugh. Cannibalization always comes through when we have these food shortages. When people are going to starve to death or eat something, they will eat a corpse first before they will die. That's the level. Yeah, they. It's been routinely documented that that's what happens. It comes that they eat things that you would think were truly inedible. And the Siege of Stalingrad, I don't know if you know much about the Siege of Stalingrad. This is World War II. They used to trade recipes for boiled belts. They used to cook that because there was some broth and nutrition in there. They were licking the glue off the wallpaper back then because it was mainly, you know, it didn't have all the chemicals in it did today. But they were eating things like, you know, fur coats. They would strip all the fur and try to boil that and make some kind of soup or anything to fill the belly. They were desperate. And if your belly's not full, you're going to get angry. And a friend of mine says, David, I understand what you're saying, but my son's in fifth grade, and I just can't explain it to him because I'm always talking, do you have something that you can create that I can show to a fifth grader? And I said, well, yeah, I'll work on it here. So it's like a diamond, actually, where there's different sides of it. It's not just one flat thing where it gets cold, and then it's not like that at all. We have these variants in weather in the extremes. It's not always going to be cold. We're going to get some normal years in between the cold and, let's say, upsetting years. But the crop harvest, the sun, they call it going to sleep, so I tried to put a sleeping sun here. We get the cosmic ray increases. We're going to get a little more volcanism. Massive floods. I mean, massive floods. And also they call it, rivers from the sky. It's an atmospheric compression event. I'll come into that. And then we get the cosmic rays, and then our jet streams are going to shift and have begun shifting. Well, this was all planned for global warming, right? They hijacked a natural cycle. They knew it was coming. They knew these would be the effects. And they had to explain it to you because they knew everybody in the real world would see it with their own eyes, and then you would start to ask questions. They had a ready-made answer for you. Global warming. Well, these effects are mainly based on solar activity, and here's what's going to happen with us moving forward. The media is going to distract you like no other. They want you to forget what's happening with your food prices and the weather changes. And it's going to be Hollywood-esque every single event. It's going to have to get more audacious, if you will. Now, the police state, the more surveillance is to surveil you in social media to see your behavioral patterns, because based on that, they can know if you'll be a threat, you'll be a help. Your social media profile is giving them the information how you're going to behave if there's shortages. And they're using these details about you to see if you're a threat or a help during this time. Heavier police presence. That never would have been ushered in except for 9/11. And it's really quirky that it started then and that we need it now. And it took 20 years to build it up. And whoa, it's ready right now at this very time. A little strange. Media's in overdrive. Now, please notice this. Every single story is about stability right now. And it's almost spooky. Every single story out there that you're reading in the media is about everything's stable. It'll continue to be stable. It'll be great next year. Everything's fine. Just, you know, go back to work. It's all good. And then we get the silencing through the social media, where they're ghosting people off of different feeds. Now, this is one of the most important charts here, and Valentina Zarkova and her team with, you've got Shepard, Zarkov, and Zarkova. They're here in the UK. They put out this chart here, and I want to explain it to you because it's based on magnetism, and these are magnetic fields of the sun. So we have the polarity of positive and negative, if you will. Now, these waves are like sound waves in Bose headset. Sometimes if you put the opposite wave in, it'll cancel each other out when it gets in there. It's a noise-canceling headset. well, we can get magnetic wave canceling effects as well. And that's exactly what I'm showing you here. What they've done is they looked at the sun in different ways. It's a quadrupole. It has four different magnetic poles on it. Our Earth has two. We've got a north pole and a south pole. But there's four poles on the sun, and then it's wrapped inside a torus wave, which I'll show you. But this is the forecast moving out. So the wider the wave is, the more of a canceling effect it has in terms of solar activity. So when it gets really wide like this, the solar activity is declining and absolutely going back into something we haven't seen in centuries. This only occurs once every 400 years. Now, the intensity of it is to be debated on how intense it's going to be. Is it a heavier, more powerful cycle overlapping and overriding on this 400-year cycle? Meaning, is it a combination of 400-year cycles as we go through and then something heavier is coming? But as we divide, I put the lines in here and divide it out with the red dots. So there's a 2 to 3 year lag period because solar activity happens today. It's not going to affect, there's a little bit of lag period behind. So as we go into 2021 here, this is where we really get into the intensity of the solar changes. Because again, it's a couple of years lag time. So think about all the changes we were seeing in 2016 are manifesting right now. Or 2017. They're just not sure if it's a 2 or 3 year lag. It's still under debate. But anyway, we're a couple years behind on the solar activity in terms of the real effects happening on the Earth. So this scares me a little bit, actually. If we're down here and these are the effects that are happening now on our planet, what's going to happen when we get in here? And that's coming next year, 2021, 22. This is what's happened.
Okay. Okay, it looks like we're at the end of today's program. So we had a few technical glitches, but we'll make it back next week. And as I say, we'll be back at this time next week, and we'll talk to you then.